In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, preaching the Word of God. The Word of God is so wonderful. We need the Word of God. I'm looking at Luke 4 and verse 21. "Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized and praying." Only Luke tells us that Jesus was praying. "And the heavens were open." The heavens were open. "And the Holy Spirit descended in the bodily shape like a dove upon Jesus. And there was a voice that came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" Jesus is hearing from the Father. Here we have the great Trinity, the Father speaking the word to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." We have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and we have the Son of God who's being baptized. Oh, he was anointed in the Jordan River. He was anointed in the Jordan River. Now we continue. After Jesus' baptism, Jesus returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time, so that he was hungry when it was over. And so the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, order this stone turn into bread." Jesus answered, "Scripture says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus up and showed him in a second all the kingdoms of the world, all the tinsel, all the beauty. "I will give you all this power and all this wealth," the devil told him. "It was all handed over to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose." Well, you see, this is a big temptation, because Jesus chooses the cross over all the tinsel of the world. "All this will be yours if you kneel down before me." Jesus answered, "The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." I'm telling you, this was a real temptation. The cross or the tinsel of the world. I'm telling you also that this has been given over to the devil. You know, you think of Las Vegas, you know, the devil's territory. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the highest point of the temple, the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For the scripture says God will give order his angels to take care of you. It also says they will hold you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "The scripture says you must not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil finished tempting Jesus in every way, he left him for a while. First of all, how does Jesus confront the devil? He confronts the devil with the word of God. If we do not know the word of God, we cannot confront the devil when he comes and says things to us. We need to know the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. We need to be filled with the word of God. Oh, yes. Jesus knew the Word of God. He was the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. We confront the enemy with the Word of God. The devil also brings the Word of God to Jesus, but Jesus knows that it's all a lie, because God doesn't want him to make bread out of these stones. God doesn't want him to worship the devil. God doesn't want him to throw himself off from the pinnacle of the temple. This is real. This is real. Chapter 4. Jesus returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? I love that saying. When he returned from the Jordan, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He has gone through the temptations. And you know, it said that the devil left him for a while. That's something that you've got to know, that the devil left him for a while. Because always Jesus will be tempted by the enemy. You know, he was tempted on the cross. He was tempted on the cross. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross, you see? Oh yes. That's why people say when someone is dying, you've got to be very careful to be praying with them, because the devil wants their soul at the last moment. This is real stuff. I'm not talking ragtime. This is real stuff. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. The news about Jesus spread through all that area. The news about Jesus spread through all that area. I'm still here. Jesus goes to Nazareth. Are you here to destroy us? The devil says. I know who you are. You are God's holy messenger. Jesus commanded the spirit to be quiet, to shut up and come out of the man. The demon threw the man down in front of them all and went out of him without doing him any harm. Everyone was amazed, and they said to one another, what kind word is this? With authority and power, this man gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. And the report about Jesus spread everywhere in the region. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, as was his usual thing in the synagogue, he stood up to read the scriptures. Now, I want you to know the difference between the synagogue and the temple. The temple was where they offered sacrifice in Jerusalem. But everyone cannot get to Jerusalem, so there was a synagogal system where the word of God would be proclaimed. Jesus goes to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Well, you know, he's talking about himself now. "He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to announce the year when the Lord will save his people." Announce the year of Jubilee. That's when all the money that was owed would be forgiven. Every 25 years. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Some people say he sat down in that empty seat where the Messiah was to sit. He sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on Jesus. He began speaking to them this passage of Scripture. "It has become true today in your hearing." They were all impressed with him and marveled at the beautiful words that he spoke. I'm telling you, He spoke these words about himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free the oppressed, and to announce the year of Jubilee when the Lord will save his people. They were all impressed with Jesus. They marveled at the beautiful words. It's not going to be long, though. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I am sure you will quote the proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' You will also say to me, 'Do here in your own town the same things that we were told that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you this," Jesus added, "a prophet is never welcomed in his own hometown." Well, they rejected him. They rejected him. I'm telling you something, my friends. These things still happen today. When people preach the word of God, many people reject. They say, "We don't want to hear that word. This priest is a 50s priest. This priest doesn't know that we're in the year 2014. I'm telling you that the same thing happens today when people preach the word of God. People will just say, no, it can't be. And other people will come toward the word of God because it's like honey in their mouth. So I have people coming from Springfield that came on Friday, they came on Saturday to be prayed with, and then they came on Sunday morning to be prayed with, and then they came on Sunday evening to be prayed with. They were hungry. They wanted a blessing for the brother, their brother. And you know what? We prayed each time, and they said, "Next time we come, we're going to bring more people. We're going to bring people with us." You know why? Because not many people pray for the sick. I also received a message yesterday from a man that said, "You know, I came to see you, and all the things that you prayed for, first of all, for me and for my family, all the things you prayed for, you had a whole piece of paper I gave you, and every one of those people have had a breakthrough." And I'm thinking, this has nothing to do with me. Everything to do with Jesus. This has nothing to do with me, and everything to do with Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ still heals. Jesus Christ still delivers. I'm telling you, the reality is, this is real. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the people said, "Do what you did in Capernaum, do here." I tell you this, Jesus added, "A prophet is never welcomed in his own town. Listen to me. It is true that there were many widows in Israel during the time of Elijah, when there was no rain for 3.5 years, and there was a great famine throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to a single one of them, but only to a widow in Zarephath, to a pagan." Oh yes, they know that Elijah was sent to a pagan in the territory of Sidon. "And there we have many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha, yet not one of them was made clean but Naaman the Syrian," another pagan. All the people in the synagogue were filled with indignation and anger when they heard this. They're saying, you know what? That the pagans are going to listen to Jesus. The pagans are going to come to God. And we're God's children. We're the descendants of Abraham. They were filled with anger, and they heard this. They rose up, dragged Jesus out of town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which their own town was built, to throw him over the cliff. But Jesus walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. I'm telling you, they did not want to hear what Jesus had to say. They did not want to hear what Jesus had to say. That the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, yes, as Messiah, yes, and that the Lord had sent him to open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, and to proclaim a year of Jubilee. I'm telling you, God's still doing those things. God is still doing those things. But we need to be like the people that it happened to. We need to have faith. We need to have faith. God is still doing those things. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, where he taught the people on the Sabbath. They were all amazed at the way he taught, for his words had authority. Yes, not like the scribes and Pharisees. When Jesus spoke, he had authority. There was a man in the synagogue who had the evil spirit demon in him. He screamed out in a loud voice, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you here to destroy us? I know who you are. You are God's holy messenger." You see, the devil knows Jesus much better than the Christians. Oh, yes. But he will have nothing to do with Jesus. He will have, and Jesus will not allow him to preach the word of God, because that must be done by the sons and daughters of God. "Are you here to destroy us?" Yes, he is here to destroy the works of the devil and every demon. "I know who you are. You are God's holy messenger." Jesus commanded the spirit to shut up and come out of the man. The demon threw the man down in front of them all and went out of him without doing him any harm. Everyone was amazed when they said to one another, "What kind of word is this? With authority and power, this man gives orders and the evil spirits come out." And the report about Jesus spread everywhere in the region. You know, Jesus said in another place, "If I cast out demons by the finger of God, by the Holy Spirit, then you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus casts out demons. It is the sign that the kingdom of God has come upon the people. Jesus left the synagogue and went to Simon's home. This is where he stayed, in the house of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever, and they spoke to Jesus about her. "Who do you speak to Jesus about the sick people?" "That man that called me said, 'You know what? I brought a whole list of people, and you prayed over everyone,'" not for a long time either, "'and everyone has had a breakthrough.'" That's amazing. As I said, it's to say, this is not about me, it's about Jesus. "And he went and stood at her bedside and gave a command to the fever, and the fever left her, and she got up once and began to wait on them." Now she is really healed, because now she's bringing Jesus falafel, she's bringing Jesus chicken soup, she's bringing Jesus all the things that have been cooked for them. This is so real, it's so real, that the Lord Jesus Christ healed Simon's mother-in-law. After sunset, all who had friends who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He placed his hands on every one of them and healed them all. Oh, yes. I've been to one service, it wasn't a big service, where Jesus healed every single person in the service. There wasn't big, there was just about 12 or 13. But everyone was healed when they left the place. It was real. Jesus healed them all. He wants to continue to heal. But how does he heal? We have to declare healing in the name of Jesus. We have to declare healing through the blood of the Lamb. We have to declare healing. "Be healed of this headache by the power of the blood. Be healed now of this headache by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel." Yes, we need to declare healing. One priest said to me, "You have no right to say you're healed in the name of Jesus." I said, "Well, I have every right, because the Lord told me to do it this way." And he said, "No, you have no right." I'm telling you, ever since I started to declare healing, more people get healed than not. I don't only pray with them, I declare healing over people. If people have cancer, I declare healing in their stomach over them by the blood of Jesus, by the precious blood of the Lamb. At sunset, All who had friends who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. Why? Because he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He placed his hands on every one of them, and he healed them all. Demons also came out of the people, screaming, "You are the Son of God." Jesus commanded them and would not let them speak because they knew that he was Messiah. You see, Jesus doesn't want any PR work from the devil. He wants all his PR work from the people who love him and who love the Father. At daybreak, Jesus left the town. What do you think he's going to do? And went off to a lonely place. What do you think he's doing? He's communing with the Father. The people started looking for him. And when they found him, they tried to keep him from leaving. But Jesus said to them, "I must preach the gospel of the kingdom of God in other towns also, for that is what God sent me to do." So he preached in the synagogues of Judea. Oh yes, I'm telling you that the Lord was told in the Spirit that he had to go throughout Israel proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God. I told you, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It is the very sign of the kingdom, the casting out of demons. Last night was my 35th anniversary, and we had a dinner. And Danny Rehill, who was ordained July 26th, started to tell the story of the lady who came to us who was sick with demons because someone cursed her food. Well, I'll never forget it because, you know, we're praying. I have people praying the rosary, and I have to go back to celebrate the 11 o'clock Mass. I said, keep on praying with her. When I came back, we were on the sorrowful mysteries, and at the crucifixion, the demon came out. I cried, called out, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus," and it came out, and there was a profound peace in that room that night. I'll never forget the profound peace that was in the chapel that day. It was so profound you could almost touch it. It was like you're in this quiet place where the presence of God is more real than the atmosphere you're breathing. She was delivered. I'll never forget it. But you want to know how I know she was delivered? She never called me back. She never called me back. She went on living her life. Oh, yes. But she had done the legwork. She came to us, and she came fasting and praying. She and her daughter came fasting and praying. They did the legwork, and that demon had to come out of her, and that demon did come out of her. I think I don't want to read anymore. Next time we're going to be on chapter 5. You know, we need people to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ has died, that Jesus is buried, and Jesus has been raised from the dead. We need people that will do that, because without the proclamation of the gospel, there is no salvation. The salvation comes through the proclamation of the gospel. And I ask myself, why is it that so many people will not preach the gospel, that the death of Jesus and his burial and his resurrection, that really is the gospel message, and that people come to be saved? You know, people come to our church from all over, and they come to be saved because they hear about it. They hear that something is happening at this little church, and something is happening. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way at all. But you know what? They come from all over to be prayed with. Oh, if I have any priest ears, pray with people who come to you. I said that to Father Joshi. Don't forget when you go to India to pray with people. Don't forget, because that's the key. Not only pray for people, but pray with people. And declare healing in the name of Jesus. Declare healing by the power of the blood. This is so important. Father Joshi said, I'm doing it, but not as much as I need to. I'm going to send them another email today. Are you praying with people? Don't only pray for people. Put your hands on their head and believe God for what they need. He prayed once with a deaf child, and the deaf child heard. He came back to the house and he said, guess what happened tonight? I said, I have no idea. He said, I was praying with the Indian community, and this little girl was deaf, and she got her hearing back. I said, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is completely upon Jesus. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.